Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast.
We're back at it again with another week of La Verdad Podcast. This is your boy Christian over here, and you know, we've had a pretty good week. I want to say, you know, I'm a Cubs fan, so the Cubs won last night, so I'm a little excited, you know, especially since it's been what, like, over 100 years since the Cubs even gone to the World Series. So hopefully you know, we get a little luck and we go in there. So I had to throw that out there since we're based out of Chicago.
Bleed blue, baby.
We also have the girls here with us today. How are you?
I'm good.
We have who's talking right
B-fig
now?
B-fig on the mic.
I'm back.
Hi, guys. Nati again.
Nice. So how you guys been?
Good.
Stress.
Chilling.
Stress. Busy work week.
We're in our really, really busy season at work. So, I mean, it's just a headache. There's not enough hours in the day, but it is what it is. So
yeah, I'm sure a lot of our listeners right now are going through busy season or whatnot.
Yeah.
And you know, just stay out there, keep your head up, and do what you got to do. Because you know what, at the end of the day, when that paycheck comes through, that's when you can relax.
I just got promoted. I got my bonus.
Nice.
I can't wait.
So Nati, how you been?
And chilling. Sad that summer's gone and trying to get ready for this cold weather.
Sad that the White Sox are not in the playoffs.
Anyway. She hated it. Anyway.
So
no, I'm hoping well for the Cubs. I'm not a Cubs fan, but I hope they do well.
I know that right now we're in October, so things are starting to turn down a little bit. Playoffs for baseball, basketball is starting up right now. But also pumpkin spice season, you know, we have
basic
pumpkin everything, Uggs, North Faces.
And aside from that, you know, right now, the city of Chicago, I hope, starts to calm down a little bit with all the violence and all that stuff. So, because, you know, it's not as hot anymore out
it's
in the street.
It's too cold to be gangbanging.
Yeah. They don't care, man. They'll do it anytime. But we also have a special guest today, mi gente, and you could find him online, and you could find all of his resources online. I'm sure he's going to plug it at the end of the show. But we have Jacob here, who's from Heart of the City TV or in productions. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it, bro.
So just a little couple questions. We wanted to interview you mostly because I got to see one of the videos that you were doing. Mm-hmm. And it like really hit home, you know, coming from the urban side. Living in the city, it was like, yo, like that resonates a lot to what I do. Right. I'm sure we're going to plug it out there. It's a YouTube video that you're working on, or it's like a documentary style.
Correct.
Really good stuff, man.
Thank
so
you. Thank you.
It kind of, you know, resonated a lot with the city growing up as, you know, in a gang infested neighborhood and all that stuff. So can you tell us a little bit of what you do and the title Heart of the City? Like, where did it come from and stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm a filmmaker from Chicago, Illinois. I grew up in the Humboldt Park area. Well, it's technically called Hermosa, but I still consider it Humboldt Park.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been doing film since I was 18 years old. I'm 26 now, so it's been 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I would consider myself a veteran. I'm young, but I'm old at the same time. I feel like an old soul. Like, but for me, I love film. Heart of the City TV, that's my film company. It's kind of branching off more towards like the culture of like hip hop and just like a youthful culture.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say a counterculture, but it's going against the grain of what's normal and to shed light on issues such as gang violence and things that most media outlets don't want to touch on.
Like,
I feel like, you know, coming from the inner city is kind of our duty as media, you know, filmmakers,
mm-hmm.
people that do podcasts, whatever the case may be, but like put out stuff that, you know, that's not being talked about. Yeah. Unused. Well, it is, but
in a negative way.
In a negative way. Right.
You want to try to bring it around to more positive things.
Right. Yeah. Especially the after effects of these things. Like, it's always shown, okay, someone got shot on, you know, the 290. Someone got shot on this block. Someone got killed, whatever. But no one talks about the after effects. How is it affecting the families? How is it affecting...
That's right. That's true.
You know, the kids out here. Right. Like, it's all right now... It's oversaturated. Mm-hmm. I know we've been seeing this since we were in college, and you know, for our parents, they're used to it, but they didn't see it on the news. Mm-hmm. The way we have access to it now on our phones, we open it on Twitter. Boom. Instagram. Boom. Especially Facebook. I love Facebook, but I hate it at the same time. Like, that's where I'm most active on. But going on Facebook, it could ruin your day instantly.
So much negative stuff out there. And I think you brought up a good point, is the after effect of what happens after the violence, you know, and it tends to create this circle in the city. And it's one thing, I think I saw it on the video, on the documentary, you had this one guy talking, who was talking about, like, the circle of, you know, living in that survivor mode the whole time. So, you know, you see someone get killed in the city, you're like, and it's something that I've seen, you know, and I've seen violence walking around, and we deal with it like it's nothing, you know. And you put somebody else who may have not grown up in Chicago, like in the suburb, and to them, they will be shocked for life, but we don't realize that it's actually messing up our mental health.
Yeah, like at work, we've just had a recent training on, like, trauma. And I don't know if anybody's heard of, like, the ACEs. I totally forget what the word ACE stands for, but basically it's like all these events that would be considered trauma and how it actually biologically changes our way of thinking. And how you said, like, everyone's always on survivor mode. There's, like, this it's like in your brain, like the sensor that, like, blinks, like, go into survival mode. And when you're always on that, you can't, like, react the way that quote unquote normal people would, because your brain is changed.
It's a big statement when it comes down to survival mode. I know we're going a little bit off topic, but I want to kind of touch upon this a little bit, is that when you're dealing with people in the city that are living on survival mode 24/7, and and, you know, feel free to disagree, but when a cop approaches them, they're in survival mode, right? When you pull out a gun, a cop pulls out a gun or deals with that person, you're living your life on survival mode. That's why people don't understand. That's what people don't understand about all these, like, killings and, oh, why did he run away or blah, blah, blah. It's like, because you're used to that in the city. Right. Like, you're used to somebody pulling a gun out at you. You're used to having to run and be on zigzags, you know. You
and can't. I think that was the question, too. Like, why is it the reaction to automatically pull out the gun? Why aren't we doing something else?
Go ahead.
So, just to piggyback off that, like, for me, I went to school at Bradley University. For those that are not familiar, that's in Peoria, Illinois.
Okay.
Like, 3 hours from Chicago, like, rural country. So, when I went out there, it was culture shock for me. And when I got adjusted to that living, and I come back here, I started to get anxiety. Looking over my back again, seeing who's, if someone's going to check me. And I did get checked before, and, like, the crazy thing was, when I was out here for a summer, I was with my friend Herson, and he went to school at DePaul at the time. We're driving back home. He's dropping me off on the block, like, literally in front of my house. A car pulls up to us. We don't know who it is. All I see is a gun right in my face, pointing at me. It's a narc, dude. A narc talking about
you. See one?
A narc. He's like, put your effing hands up in the, you know, we know you guys did this, that, and there. It was mistaken identity the whole time. And we're like, no, we're college students. You know, once we got out, we showed them our IDs, and those are clarified. It's like, we're sorry. You guys matched the description. The car matched the description. You guys looked exactly like the people we're looking for. But that's the thing. It's not even just mistaken identity from, like, cops. It's mistaken identity from gang members, too. It's just all around. Like,
it's happening all the time, yeah.
Like, for us, we look, we're Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
am I supposed to change the way I look? Like, am I supposed to do plastic surgery? Like, that ain't going to happen. Like,
and I think you know, you brought up a good point. And for our listeners who might not know what NARC is, it's like a Chicago term, I want to say, for undercover police officers. That come around in undisclosed cars or undercover cars. But I think you brought up a good point, too. Like, when you went out to college, you went to, like, a rural area. You know, I went out to college in the same environment. You know, I came from the city, so I used to rock my Timberlands in college and like, you know, I have braids or whatever. You know, like, very urban, right?
Yeah. Still like a sore thumb,
bro. Like, a lot of people will just be like, hey, like, you know, what gang are you in? And I'd be
like,
you know,
Like, it was a cool thing,
you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I saw some gang. What stuck out, well, kind of came up the most was that I was in my dorm and moved in. No one will talk to me, right? Because I was not like them, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, I remember this one girl that I got to know pretty cool and stuff like that. She was like, man, you're actually, like, a big teddy bear because everybody's so scared of you. They think that you're a gangbanger, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, like, you lose all credibility when you go to college that you're a gangbanger, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like, and at the same time, this is just who I am, how I dress, you know, because this is where I grew up at.
Right.
But at the same time, too, I remember the culture shock part was walking like on campus like at night and having to look back because I was so used to the city life, you know? Yeah. And then when I came back, I had the same issue. I was just like very anxious all the time because it's like, damn, I was just living out there. It was so chill. I could walk outside at 2 a.m. without worried about getting shot or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm here in Chicago, just hearing the sirens were kind of driving me crazy. So it's a very big thing that I noticed that messes with your mental health, mm-hmm. with living in a city like this. And I think what needs to happen, you know, a lot of times we talk about the problem, but we don't really give out a solution. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I always want to do with La Verdad, and I'm sure you want to do it with your company, is that come up with solutions to all these problems, you know? And I think mental health, you know, facilities or mental health people will be a great thing to have in the city of Chicago. So,
and I think that'll come with light of showing the aftermath of these families going through these traumatic experiences.
So do you interview a lot of the people? And like I noticed in the documentary, like the interview that you had with one of the guys there was like very uplifting, you know, to see somebody that went through it and what they're doing to recover from it. So is that something that you have a vision for?
Yeah. So with Welcome to Chicago, this documentary, I started over the summer, actually, and it kind of stemmed from, I'm working on another film called Flaco, but mm-hmm. it's an introduction to Flaco. Like, mm-hmm. With that being said, I've been interviewing families that have lost their children's lives to gun violence. Yeah. I've interviewed a lot of my own family members, kind of getting their perspective on things, and it taught me a lot so far, and this journey has been crazy. I'm almost done with filming, and the process of it, I'm like releasing 3 segments. The first segment, which is the one that you've seen, it's kind of an introduction to my testimony with, and then leading to the other individual, Benjamin. His artist name is Kirk Louay.
Okay.
But it led to his interview. Then it's going to my cousins, who was a former pastor. His name's Stephen Ross. He's a current pastor. I'm sorry, former gang member.
Okay.
Current pastor, and he's changed his life around 360. So I'm trying to give all perspectives. I've interviewed current gang members too. But I didn't want it to be biased. I wanted to give both perspectives. And at the end of the day, like, from what I've gotten so far from it, is the individuals that are out here doing these crimes, when you know them, because some of these are our family members, they're not doing it out of, like, to be evil. They're doing it because they're in a position in life that they have no other choice. It's like, so sad when you talk to them and get to know them. It's like, this is my life, this is what I did at the time. And I placed myself in their shoes before because I ended up selling drugs in college. I didn't want to. Yeah. But it became a lifestyle that I was, like, embarrassed about. I was living a double life. And it made me be empathetic to these individuals that maybe I used to look down upon when I was in high school. And I had to, like, really just think outside the box. Like, yo, like, I was spoiled growing up. I came from, I don't want to say a perfect home, but my parents were together.
Mm-hmm.
My cousins, though, was the complete opposite. They would tell me now, currently, they're like, yo, your house was the house to be at, bro. Yeah. Like, I used to, couldn't wait for family parties. I couldn't wait for that stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, my brother...
To you, it was normal.
It was normal. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm looking back, I'm like, man, I didn't think twice about it.
Right.
And my cousins now, they're like, yo, like, your pops and your mom showed us what, like, a family should be like. And, like, we're so thankful for that. And, like, for me, I didn't care. Like, you know, they weren't there during the rough times, but it is what it is. Like, but at the end of the day, like, what I'm getting towards is that these kids out here, they're looking for love. And you know that once you get to talk, they're looking for a home. They're looking for mentors. And for us as the mid-upper 20s people that are in this community, like, that's our job now to be that to them, because we had someone before do that for us.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, though, you hear individuals like, oh, I can't wait to get out of the neighborhood. I can't wait to get out of Chicago and not come back. Or they want to get out, but you don't want to come back to serve your community, and you wonder why it's still a mess. And you tell them to talk all that trash, but you don't want to be part of the solution, as you were saying.
And a lot of times, too, when with the people that leave the city, they end up failing where they're at, too, you know, or having a hard time where they're at. So it's not so much about the city being the problem. It's the what we've grown up and what our and I always bring it back to mental health, but what our mentality is like, you know. And I think you mentioned when you were talking about talking to drug dealers and people that are gangbangers, you know, I know drug dealers, I know gangbangers myself, and, right. and when you really get to know them, they're good people. They're actually yeah. some of the most loyal people that you right. can meet. The problem is that they face themselves in a situation, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. where they can't, that's the only way out. Unfortunately, it's a mindset that has been fed to them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, tú no puedes hacer nada, you need to, you know, ah, vete a vender droga, that's all you could do, you know? Or instead of saying, hey, you know, let's teach you how to do carpentry, or let's do this. Yeah. And there's not so many resources out there, so the easiest thing to do is to sell, mm-hmm. you know? And then at the end of the day, you know that the person that's actually providing all the weed and all that, it's, you know, somebody that's wealthy and knows business, you know what I'm saying? And unfortunately uses all those street soldiers to right, do that, you right, know? Right. So I think that's a big deal, and one of the things that we would like to do as La Verdad, and I see you guys doing it as well, is reaching out to those people, you know? Yeah. I know that a lot of times we reach out to them in a religious way, you know, like through church and all that stuff, and some people might be just really close-minded when it comes down to God and whatnot, but if we could reach out to them in a different way, mm-hmm. yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it will probably help those people, you know, gear themselves from what they're at and what they're doing. Definitely, so yeah. I noticed too, I also like your logo, you know, it's a heart, and I'm sure our listeners will see it out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, where did the name come, like, mm-hmm. what inspired you, what prompted you to, like, start this whole production company?
Right, so the name Heart of the City TV, it stems actually from a song that Jay-Z did, mm-hmm. that Kanye West produced from his album, The Blueprint, mm-hmm. and it's called Heart of the City / Ain't No Love. And that's where the you see on the shirts and the hoodies that we have, it says Ain't No Love. And people get yeah. thrown off, like, you're Christian and you're promoting Ain't No Love. You're saying all this stuff on Facebook, but what's up with your hoodies? Yeah. And I'm like, no, it's from a song. If you're a hip-hop head, you understand. But my brother, actually, we were talking in the car. We were developing names for the company. And he's like, yo, it should be Heart of the City. And I'm like, nah, bro, that's whack. That's whack. I don't want to. And then literally, like, 10-15 minutes later, I come back in the car, I'm like, bro, that's hot. So that it came about like that, just you know, it's God at the end of the day, yeah. but it's dope because, like, the logo, I had the idea, like, putting the city with the heart, and then our animator Anthony Esquivel, he developed the animations and the logo for it, and nice. He just took it to a whole nother level. But man, it's crazy because when you're just looking at something online and you don't know an individual, you can automatically assume, like, oh, he's about, like, the drill scene, he's about the killing, he doesn't have that kind of mindset. But, like, no, it's actually the complete opposite. The message that we want from Heart of City is, like, we are about love, we are about caring for our community, mm-hmm. and, you know, positive change.
Yeah, which is a big thing too, that I noticed too. Like, at first when I saw it, it drew me in there because I was like, hey, you know, what does it really mean? You know, there's always a hidden meaning behind, well, yeah, at least yeah. in the stuff that we do, I think there's always should be a hidden meaning to for it. Sure. And if you really dig into it, you could see it. But sure. One of the animations that I saw was like, it looked like blood coming down, but yeah. then I kind of realized, yo, like, you know, it has to do with love, but like, yeah. like how it works in with the name. I thought that was dope, you yeah, know, because right now we're so used to Chicago being like Chirac, death, right. violence and all that. Right. So to see something positive coming out of Chicago, to right. me, it's a great thing.
Yeah. Right. And which Chicago, like, we're a working class city. Like, you come here, you're going to learn how to work. Mm-hmm. Like, New York is like that, too. They don't yep. sleep out there in New York.
But they,
like,
never do.
Chicago, we're right up there. Like, and that's the thing. The Midwesterners, when you go to L.A. and Hollywood, most people working out there are from the Midwest. And I think that the stigma of Chirac, it's in what they see mm-hmm. from the media. And yeah, when you drive out to the west side and to the south side, it looks like a bomb just went off. It looks like yeah. we're in Baghdad. Like, I get where the term stems from, especially when there's been so many killings, but I feel like it is misguided by the media, and yeah. they took it to a whole nother level. And now we see these kids out here portraying and glorifying it, where us older heads were like, no, we're reclaiming Chicago.
Yeah.
Because Chirac, and it's fed into their minds, and these kids want to be out here being killers, and they're doing mm-hmm. this stuff. Mm-hmm. They're doing it, like, 13 through, you know, these high school kids are killing people.
Right. And I think that, like, goes back to what you were talking about. Like, you pick up, you open your phone on mm-hmm. YouTube, Facebook, whatever it is, like, these shootings, these killings have been happening. It's not something brand new to Chicago. It's just the fact that this media is spinning it around, changing the stories. Yeah.
And it's just so easily accessible. Like, how many of the stories have we heard of that it was Facebook Live? Or, you know, it's on recorded. The first thing you see a fight, what are people doing? Pulling out their phones to record it. And then people are sharing it. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, people need to start doing that with more positive things, especially the media. Like, see something good and share it.
But the media doesn't want to show positive because nobody keeps
it. But that's why it's on us, though. You know,
it doesn't keep it doesn't bring ratings. You know what I'm saying? So it is on us. You know, a small media companies to do that
They call that like the lowest common denominator. So you see things like World Star Hip Hop. Why is it so popular? Because people like seeing dumb stuff, violence. They like seeing.
Or this clown thing that's going around, which is like, what? What is going on?
It's the number one thing we're talking about.
What?
Yeah, we might have an actual clown in presidency.
That's a whole other conversation.
It's a big thing that we're dealing with. And back to what you were saying, like, about people getting killed here. Or I think V-Fig was talking about it. It's the fact that our youth is so desensitized, right?
Exactly.
From
that's
death.
The exact word.
The crazy part, I remember when I was about 13, 14, and somebody had told me to look at this one video of, like, people getting, like, hung or, like, cut. And I couldn't. I had nightmares, I remember, before. Now we see people getting killed, people getting, like, stabbed on Facebook, like, just shot. And it's like, oh. Like, you know, it's pretty common for us
to
see.
And you just move on to the next video.
That's
like,
just
it's
very sad.
Like,
you know, it's
horrible.
So desensitized. And not just that, like, bringing it back to, you know, just what's happening right now, it's, you know, people getting killed by cops, you know. It's normal for us. Like, it's kind of weird, and it's very sad that we see that come up, and it's like, okay, so what time are the Cubs playing? You know, it's like, I don't want to have my kids. I have a daughter. I don't want my daughter to have to grow up in such a desensitized community, you know. So,
but it's reality. Like, I have a son, and so it's something that's constantly in the back of my mind. Like, I'm raising a boy, a Hispanic and African-American boy in this city, and it's scary. And now I need to, like, have the proper conversations with him so he isn't in the media as one of these kids or, you know, being a part of it. And so it's scary. As much as we don't want it to happen, it's like reality.
And my thing is, what could we do, you know? And that's a question that I want to pose to you is, like, what could we do to bring sensitivity back and to bring the heart back? You know what I'm saying? Heart of the city. Bring heart back to our youth, because right now it's just a cold heart. You know?
Yeah, I think really, man,
getting,
like,
his name out there.
The Chicago Police Department needs to step up and start a real dialogue with our communities, because they've done so much harm to it where you speak to the youth and you speak to individuals who have dealt with police brutality, they don't want to hear it. It's already F the police. That's the mindset that is brought to it. And it's not just a Chicago thing. We're a microcosm of America right now, and all these killings, it's scary. And it's just the militarization of our police department. They're being taught shoot first instead of talk to these people.
Exactly.
You know, of course, sometimes it's a scary job. You don't know what drugs this person may be on, or if they're not on drugs, they're
paranoid. Did you guys hear that story of the officer who, like, got attacked by the guy on PCP, and he's like bashing her head in the cement, a police officer, and she didn't pull the gun on him because she was scared of the scrutiny that she would face if she killed it with everything that's going on in Chicago. But it's like situations like that, like, okay, you got a man on drugs and he's bashing your head in the cement. Like, you should do something there. Your life's really threatened. And then you got other situations where, like, they're not, your life's really not threatened, yet you do what you do.
I know a couple police officers, and they will tell you themselves is that they need some more sensitivity training. They need some more, like, social
community
work.
Community policing, I think, is the word.
Exactly. And one of my friends who's a police officer, he's like, you know what? I don't stop people just to stop them for an arrest or whatever. He's like, I walk around the community. I want people to have such a respect for me that they won't even commit the crime. You know, it's like, oh no, I don't want officer so-and-so to come by to my house. And he just started about a year ago, and he's already developing that sense with the community. And he said he's just taking it to the old school, because it used to be like that.
Officer friendly, and they came into the schools and they gave you those badges.
Exactly.
And being cool with the police was a cool thing.
There's an officer I follow on Instagram, actually, and he's blown up because of his community policing. Like, his Instagram videos are all about, like, hey, this is little Day-Day, and she dancing, you know what I'm saying? And it's so nice to see. So, T. Norman or something, I don't know where he's from. He's not from Chicago. But it was just so nice to see, like, the community policing. The community knows him. He knows mm-hmm. he's just driving. He's like, hey, shit, you know, whatever. Yep. And they respect him for that.
And that's the type of leaders that we need within mm-hmm. our community. 100%. So I know you were mentioning Chicago. Any other, and Chicago cops, any other outlets that you think need to kind of start focusing on bringing back sensitivity?
Yeah, I really... It's so tough because there's so many factors that play into this. Mm-hmm. And especially we're at this point in America where it's like, we really don't trust the police. Mm-hmm. We really don't. But it sucks because there are good officers out there that are, you know, willing to protect, serve and protect as they should. But I really think it does come down to mental health. And, like, of course, if you're not involved in a church and you're not, if I'm not saying you have to be Christian, but if you have that instilled in you, you have mm-hmm. some morals that are helping you guide you.
A support system.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, you're able to be directed because most times, especially what I do think that needs to be changed is where they put certain officers at. Because like an officer that comes from the burbs that's policing in the inner city shouldn't be in some of these neighborhoods because they're so nervous already from what they see online and from what they hear. Or they might have some, God forbid, inner racism in them.
Or just that culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely a culture shock. So like, I feel like they have to have better placement where they put our mm-hmm. Latino and Black officers because we need to see more of that in our community because they'll have more sensitivity towards it. There's an individual, I believe his name is Roger Washington. I got to double check that name. I'm sorry. Yeah. But he's a former police officer, and he was saying that he was in a situation where a kid shot at him and he just killed somebody, the kid. And when he got on the scene, a kid shot at him. Instead of shooting back, he was able to, like, you know, get him apprehend him safely. But like, it was just crazy because most officers wouldn't have done that. They would have killed him instantly. Yeah. So he gave this kid another second chance at life. And but at the end of the day, like, if we have more officers like that are willing to say, you know what, guns aren't gonna solve our issues, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, this is just gonna cause more trauma, more pain, more etc. Unless there's a serious threat, like a serious terrorist threat, there should be no reason why we're out here shooting, whether they're white, Black, Hispanic, just shooting individuals because they committed a certain crime, you know?
Yeah.
But
I think also understanding the situation that you're at. So one of the other things that has happened in Chicago, and I'm sure a lot of you guys are aware, is like we used to have like Cabrini Green, right? Mm-hmm. Or any of the housing projects, right, in the city mm-hmm. of Chicago. And they destroyed the housing projects, right? First of all, the housing projects probably should have never happened because it's just that's just jail. You know, for a minority community, it's just keeping them in one spot, feeding them here and there. So, and this goes into some deep stuff, but when you give them that sense of this doesn't belong to you, mm-hmm. you know, we're just going to supply you with it. Yeah, your mind's going to get accustomed of staying in that one location and you're getting free stuff, quote unquote, right? Mm-hmm. But they destroyed Cabrini Green. They displaced everyone into locations where they didn't know how to react to that location. So then you have to, I think, as a police officer, understand that, right? Understand that shock of, hey, they used to be in jail, basically, at Cabrini Green. Mm-hmm. Now they're at a location where they're mixed with other gangs, right? Exactly. Cabrini Green was all locked down. The GDs or whichever gang was there was all locked down. Now you're in the inner city in other locations with other gangs, with other people. You don't know how to react to those people. You don't know how to go to the corner store. So when somebody comes up at you or says anything to you, it's survivor mode, right? Definitely. At the end of the day. So I think our cops, our political figures need to understand the mental health aspect of living in isolation, of living in that, and what it is now when they got displaced and put into a new city. It happened. It's a revolving cycle, right? It happened to the Puerto Ricans when they were in Humboldt Park. I mean, when they were in Lincoln Park and got moved to Humboldt Park. Yeah. You know, there was a lot of fights during that time because it was in their neighborhood, right?
It's low-key happening now.
It's happening now. They're trying to get, you know, gentrification in the mm-hmm. city, in the Humboldt Park community. So. It's that sense of, that's another big thing that's happening in Chicago, I believe, in Detroit and all these big cities, is that sense of the lower class, right, or the poor population of not having anything that they own. Mm-hmm. And it goes into a whole different topic because it kind of takes you into, you know, why are certain places, why do they look like a bomb went out, right? Because you get that sense of, that's not mine, you know, let the city handle it, because you've been in that same situation for so long. So you have no sense of pride for what you do, right? The sense of pride comes down into, oh, I live in Chirac, I live in, you know, Drillinoise, you know, instead of saying, oh, I live in Chicago, this is what I do, this is my house.
Can I bounce mm-hmm. off this? So, yep. like, that's one thing I wish I would see, man, like, is that our community would come together and say, you know what, we're gonna go cut the grass over here, we're gonna go fix these fences,
little things
that, like, we don't need the mayor and the city to do this. Like, let's take care of our
This
own
is
community.
Our city. We stay here on a daily basis. Let's take care of it.
And that's hitting the Puerto Rican community hard right now because we claimed Humboldt Park as ours, right? For a long time, you know, because we got displaced from Lincoln Park and all these places. So now the Puerto Rican community is saying, oh, pero, what's happening? You know, we have so-and-so now just bought out Rosita's building. So what am I going to do now? Like, what do I own? So you start seeing certain locations. Like, for example, there's an empty lot on the corner of, what is that, Division and California. There's an empty lot. Nothing has happened there for so long. I think it used to be a KFC back in the day.
Really?
Nothing has happened, right?
Because, I did not know that.
Yeah, because...
I want to say
is that sense of that doesn't belong to me, right? They're taking my stuff away now. So why should I invest into that when it's going to be taken away in a couple months, right? Taxes are going to go up. So it feeds into the community as well. And it's something that we don't really look at, you know?
Not for sure. It's that distribution of wealth where we talk about the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. It's such a bad thing in America, this capitalistic, greedy mindset where, like you said, we got this clown Trump running for president saying wild stuff. And, like, he's so just kind of evil in a sense. So,
and you get
so
away
fake.
With it.
And, like...
And the scary thing is he has supporters. He legit has supporters. It's so scary.
There's more people like him. And, like, the mindset, like, these individuals that are investing into property, they don't give a shit about us out here.
Right. Yep.
They don't care about your grandmother, your grandmother. Our
and that's why you see the same communities look the way that they do. It's like you at a certain parts of Chicago, and you feel that you're just not in a good place.
Right.
And that's such a horrible feeling. And I wonder if, like, the people that actually live there and have no choice but to live there feel that and you know, think that, you know, the city's not doing anything for my community. Why should I too?
That's the mentality.
And it just stays
unfortunately,
like that.
And I know this from like talking to people that live in those communities. It's like, why clean that if so we clean it and then so and so is going to come and buy that lot because now it looks nice. You know, and
or they have the money to do so. I think that's a huge thing. Like, okay, the Puerto Rican community or Humboldt Park is, we're going to say, working class families, right? We'll say that. Mm-hmm. And then you have the few that do make it and do have the money to do something. That's where I think another solution can come in. When you have that income or that platform, use it, come back to the city where you're from because you know how bad it is and you want it to get out so bad. Now you have that platform, use it to better your city where you're from so you can be proud of it and they can stop saying these things.
And for me, coming from the music scene, I super, super respect Chance the Rapper right now for what he's been doing.
Yep.
And like Kanye, I know he's done little things, but I wish I would see more from him.
Exactly.
He's such on a whole nother level. I love Kanye. I grew up on him. If he ever hears this, whatever, but...
Shout out, Kanye.
Listen to our podcast.
Hope your wife recovers.
I'm a little disappointed in him just because, like, he's probably one of the wealthiest persons in the music scene out of Chicago.
Yeah.
And he has so much clout where he's, like, complaining about his designer stuff where his clothing, and then he's talking about, oh, my t-shirt costs $100.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bro.
Yeah,
$100 for a t-shirt like,
with holes in it.
With holes in it, like what are you? Like I respect the man so much, and like I just wish even more other individuals that are liking that come from the city. We have comedians that are famous out here. We have so many others, and I'm not saying they're not doing anything, but we really need to make a stand. Like even Dwayne Wade, he's from Chicago. Yep. When his cousin passed away, he came out and talked about it on ESPN and everything.
And the thing that Chance, his concert, like the fact that he did it in U.S. Cellular Field and he sold it out. Like, let's be honest, I'm a Sox fan, but when's the last time U.S. Cellular was sold out?
I think he even had...
It's amazing that he can
I think
do
he
that.
Even had, like, Harold's Chicken. Like,
yeah, I heard that he did.
Yeah, like, Chicago.
I heard that. Yeah. And he brought Kanye out. It was just such a great... And from everyone that I heard that went to it, it was such a great atmosphere and positive... It was just an amazing feeling to be there. And that was, like...
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think that's the big thing too is where you come from and staying and sticking staying true to your roots, right? Which is something that we talk about.
Be proud of it. Be proud that you're from Chicago and do something to better it.
What? Go ahead.
She mentioned something big that the atmosphere of the place was like nothing but love, but like that's the thing too where we need more safe places for our youth and even our adults to hang out. Like we can't, like, it's crazy that we feel like I don't know, like we have to be stuck to, in our houses or whatever the case may be. Like, only I'm going to go to my cousin's house or the church.
Out of fear, right?
And it's just bad. Like, it's crazy that that's the day and age we live in, you know?
One of the things that I like, too, is that you mentioned church, you know? And I like the fact that you guys are doing community work, you know? So you want to plug your church? Or?
Oh, I love to. Yeah, I go to Metro Praise International on University and Long. It's a small, medium-sized church. But, man, they do so much there, man. Like, they're actually doing what the Word of God says to do with not just being in the church. Because there's so many church buildings in Chicago. You'd be man, Chicago's a really Christian place. But it's all kind of like, a lot of people are scared to be out there preaching. But with our church, we actually do gang ministries every Thursday at 7 p.m. If you want to come, meet at the church. But with gang ministry, what they do is they go out there to preach in these gang-infested neighborhoods. And just to get people saved, which means, like, get them connected to God and, and Jesus Christ, and, like, from there to, God willing, get them into church. Yeah. And there have been individuals that have dropped their flags from gangs and joined that. And my cousin, the one that was a former gang member, is the one that started that.
Yeah.
And now he has another individual running it named Ulysses. So, like, it's just a blessing to see that. Yeah. And they have so many other stuff for single moms. They have stuff for, you know, a lot of, they cater to a whole lot of different groups. But, you know, there are a lot of great churches in Chicago. There's New Life, there's the one on Cicero, not too far from here.
Yeah, I've heard the one on Cicero by, like, Belmont, between by Belmont. I've heard so many good things. What's about this. The outside says something Tabernacle or
Chicago
something.
Tabernacle.
Yeah.
I heard good, yeah.
And I heard they have an amazing children's ministry. Yeah. Like, one of the kids that Caleb went to daycare with, he went there, and I was talking to his mom, and she spoke so highly of it. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate it so much because it's like a children's ministry. That's where it starts when they're kids, you know, to have that support. And then they're growing up in that environment.
That's something, too, for me. Like, I didn't grow up in church. So just to clarify that, if anyone's like, man, Jacob's like super Christian person, I'm not. Like, this is all recent. Like, I went to a Catholic school, and at that Catholic school, it was just like a CPS, to be honest.
Yeah. What school did you go to?
St. Philomena.
Yeah.
So, like, we were Catholic kids, but at the end of the day, we were still in the hood. We were still dealing with the same problems as our CPS friends. And then, like, my grandma, she was super Pentecostal. So she would tell me, like, mijo, don't believe what they're teaching you there. And I didn't understand the difference between Christian and Catholicism, even though they both believe in Jesus. That's a whole other conversation.
Another podcast.
At the end of the day, like, I didn't grow up in church.
Yeah.
Like, the seed was planted in me through my grandparents, but it was an individual choice. But I feel like it is something that's important to give to our youth and to have, for them to understand there's more to life than what we're currently seeing right now. There's more to life that, God willing, to me, I believe there is an afterlife. Yeah. There is something that, it's not by our good works, it's not by being a good person, it's being by being forgiven, because we're all plagued by this thing called sin. And so at the end of the day, like, if you don't understand that, you got to take some time. Get some time and ask God to reveal things to you, to understand certain things that you may not get. But it comes with maturity. You know, you may be listening to this now and, like, my grandma's just like that, telling me that, and you're 16, 17, not listening. But it'll hit you one day. God forbid you might get into a car accident, which happened to me. God forbid, you know.
Don't even get into that story,
It could get worse. You know what I'm saying? That's a small example. But, like, God brings people, like, into your life, or might come into your life so unexpected. So unexpected.
And I think going out to the communities, like you said, your cousin, is so important. Letting them know, hey, we're not trying to, like, get you to join our church, or, like, we need you all out right now. But when you're ready, you have a place to come, and you can come here when you're ready, and we'll accept you. And, you know, and I think that's amazing.
It's all in love. Like, that's the thing we're lacking, is that love is, like, genuine. Like, to be honest, like, there was a time I stopped doing video from 2014, 2015. I went through, like, a crazy deep depression, anxiety.
Yeah.
It was mixed with experimenting with drugs, doing stupid stuff, and, like, being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And during that time, that's when I started to go to church towards the middle of it, and that lifted me up. But, like, dude, like, I was so broken. I didn't even realize it, man. Like, my morals were trash. Yeah, everything that I was doing was just, like, backwards. And I didn't understand why those things weren't going my way. And it was like, I was just living a very messed up, like, broken life.
I think also at the end of the day, one of the things, and the reason why I brought up, you know, to plug your church is because it gives a sense of hope, right? When we're dealing with so much drama and traumatic stuff
also
in the world.
Also, saying like a support system.
It's a support system,
knowing
exactly.
that it's there when you need it.
Like in back in the day, you know, the churches or you know, or there was organizations that would help out. You know, the minorities that were out there. Yeah. So, for example, mm-hmm. Puerto Ricans that will come from Puerto Rico, you had Caballero de San Juan, who was able to give them, like, loans and stuff like that and help them out financially. Or you have different, like, groups of people that help out. And familia is a big, mm-hmm. big concept, especially with minority group. So, I think not only is it cool, you know, that a message is getting placed out there, but I just think just knowing that there's people out there that were able to change, whether or not you want to change for a God or if you believe in God or not, but just able to change for your own good, you know, because living in that traumatic sense of lifestyle sucks. You're not gonna live too long, you know. You have your blood pressure is probably rolling so high, you know, you're always, you know, antsy. Yeah. So, you know, it just finding some type of hope, whether or not you find it through Christianity or Islam. You know, we've had a Latino Muslim here who we interviewed with him. Same type of concepts as Christianity, you know, as being saved, you know, or changing your life around for Christ. They have the same kind of concept, but in Islam, you know, or whether or not you just change your life to help others, yeah. you know. I think that's a big deal. So to me, it's nice that you're doing that. It's nice that you're putting it out there in the city. We need more people like that. You know, if somebody wants to follow you on social media, how can they do it?
Yeah, you can find my personal social media at JAY_caves, CAVVSInVictorES. And our company, Heart of City, is HLTC_TV, mm-hmm. and Heart of City TV on Facebook. So, and our website is HLTC.TV.
Nice. And you got some hoodies and stuff that you're selling
yeah,
right now?
Yeah, we have merchandise. I'm in the process of launching a merchandise store. So that should be nice. Out within the next couple weeks. Yeah. But yeah, there's going to be hoodies and beanies for the fall. Mm-hmm. And then t-shirts
nice.
Coming up.
Nice,
yeah.
nice. Pretty dope stuff.
You got a movie coming out, Flacco?
Yes.
Documentary?
So the documentary, Welcome to Chicago, is a prelude to my first feature film I've been working on called Flacco. Flacco is going to be a coming-of-age story of a black and Puerto Rican kid growing up in Humboldt Park.
Okay.
From 13 to 21 years old.
Nice.
That's all I could give you guys.
That sounds dope.
I was like, more?
I'm literally waiting because I know you started this company like a few years back. So I've been waiting to like see a movie and be like, editor, producer, Jacob Cuevas.
I know.
I'm literally waiting for that. Like, I still believe in it. So.
Thank you. No, it's been a long time coming. It's a lot of fears and stuff that has to get over and
mm-hmm.
and climb, but
it'll be worth it at the end.
I hope so, and like I feel like this film, God's been calling me to do it just to give people new life and new hope and, mm-hmm. and really show these kids what these streets are about, because my family, like, you would never would have guessed that I was raised by gangbangers. Basically, my parents didn't gangbang, but our surrounding family members, nothing but gangbangers. And like I love them to death. Like they're like he said, some of the most loyal people you will ever meet, and very, when you get to know them, very humble, very caring.
Mm-hmm.
It's just certain decisions that they made in their life affected them negatively.
Yep.
Right.
I just want to shed light on these issues. I don't know why God's called
educate
me to love,
the people,
to love,
right?
To love on gangbangers for some reason. I never gangbanged a day in my life, but God's called me to love on them. So. That's what I'm about right now.
That's what's up. And if you could give our listeners any type of advice, I know you mentioned that, you know, you've been in a long journey with this company, and we've kind of been in the same boat where you lose that fire, you know what I'm saying? For so sure. What can you say to motivate some of our listeners out there?
I would say keep pushing and find someone, like a mentor in your life that could guide you, mm-hmm. because you can't do this alone. And not only that, like there's going to be people that come in and out of your life. Don't give up. Just understand that there's certain things you have to go through in life individually that's going to make you better in the long run. So like there's purpose to the pain all the time.
Purpose to the pain. I like that.
Perfect.
Make another t-shirt. I'm just kidding.
I think that definitely wrapped up our interview with some positive light.
Yeah.
Mi gente, make sure you check out Heart of the City. You know, on the different social media outlets, on the website, if you could contribute as well to get one of the hoodies, they look dope. V-Fig has one. She definitely has to take a couple pictures and put it
I'll
on.
I'll help promote you, Jacob.
I brought some for you guys, so we'll,
Nice. Cool. And also, you know, if you could like, subscribe, La Verdad Podcast, check us out. We have a lot of cool stuff. I'm hoping we could do some collab work in the future. So be on the lookout. Check us out. And mi gente, be safe out there, and God bless.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.